2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. What a beautiful conference Sunday it is. Today's topic is on baptism, its origin and history. Before I jump right into the topic, however, I would like to invite everyone who's listening, who's in proximity. I get emails from Australia, from the Caribbean, from Europe, from many other places. So I know many, many people can't do this. But if you are available, I invite you to come hear a near-death experience in Salt Lake City on Friday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Salt Lake County Complex at 2100 South State Street in Salt Lake City. It's free and open to the public. It will be, I believe, fascinating. It will take 1 hour from start to finish. If you have any questions, feel free to be in touch with me at martinstanner@gmail.com. I also would like to invite someone named Travis, who had a near-death experience in May of this year in the Salt Lake City Sandy area due to a horrible bout with COVID, in which Travis was transported by ambulance and ultimately recovered, but posted his near-death experience in Endorf, which is a fascinating website. But if Travis, you hear this either directly or indirectly, I would really like to talk to you briefly and confidentially. Send me an email, martinstanner@gmail.com. All right, with those preliminaries out of the way, wanted to talk today a bit about baptism. There are critics of the church who, or of Christianity and our church, who say, well, baptism is a Christian thing, and yet John the Baptist wasn't Christian. And they say baptism is mentioned in the Book of Mormon, which supposedly was written well before the time of Christ. So how could you have a Christian ritual mentioned in the Book of Mormon? And how could John the Baptist, before Christianity, be suggesting to people that they undergo baptism? Well, those are fascinating questions. Trust me, spoiler alert, there is an easy answer to this, and it only takes a little bit of information to quickly see this. What was John the Baptist doing? It is true. He was not Christian. He was a Jewish guy. He was around before Christianity was undertaken, was formed. He was around before and at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which is clearly prior to the formation of Christianity. So what was he doing? Why would he immerse people in water in a river, which we call baptism? Now, baptism comes from a Greek word, which means to immerse. That's all it means. And so we don't learn much about it. But there are similar Jewish rituals, and this is no doubt what John was involved in. He was involved in a Jewish ritual that he apparently adapted a bit and changed for purposes called upon by God. The word baptism outside of the Book of Mormon isn't really used to describe these Jewish rituals, but I think it's a perfectly good description. If one looks at the Law of Moses, for example, and prior to the Law of Moses, we see Old Testament rituals that look very, very much like baptism. In the Old Testament, for example, in the outer courtyard of the Tabernacle of Moses, there was a bronze wash basin. It's described in Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 21. In this wash basin, Aaron the priest and his sons were washed, clothed, and anointed prior to becoming a priest. There was a daily ritual washing that was required by a priest before serving in the tabernacle. This was an act of becoming clean before entering into the presence of God in the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verses 12 through 13 says this, quote, "Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle, and wash them there with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron holy garments, and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." This kind of consecration of priests, including washing, clothing, and anointing, looks a lot like baptism. It also looks a lot like Latter-day Saint temple rituals. When one receives an endowment, there is the idea of washing, of clothing in clean clothing, and anointing or setting apart someone for a special purpose. So when you're talking about what was going on in Exodus, it looks a lot like baptism today, temple endowment today, and also what John the Baptist was doing and what the early Christians were doing. Here's another Old Testament verse that looks strikingly like what baptism did. Psalm 51, verse 2, quote, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin," close quote. This was a psalm of David in the early, early days of Judaism. It talks about ritual washing to cleanse someone from sin and from iniquity, just what happens with baptism. Now, why would one be clothed with holy garments? This is so that someone is clean, not just spiritually, but physically, to enter into the presence of God. We have a similar idea from the Ark of the Covenant. This is something that was used also so that the early Jews could come close to God and become cleansed from their sins. Here's another pre-Christian example of something that is very much like or almost the same as baptism used by Christians in John the Baptist. In the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran, we read that there was mikvah, which literally means an immersion pool, or we could say a baptismal font. It served essentially the same purpose. The person was to bathe his entire body in running water. This is according to the scroll from Cave 11, Scroll 19, Chapter 45, Verses 15 and 16, abbreviated to 11Q19. Now, we have a similar idea from a scroll in K4 of Qumran, 4Q274, 21 verses 1 through 9. The scroll specifically says that one is to be immersed, but also their clothing was to be washed and immersed. Here's the exact language translated into English from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Quote, "And he shall bathe and wash. He shall immerse himself. He may not sprinkle. He shall immerse and shall also immerse the garment which is on him." Close quote. So the Jewish practice of immersion was something that John the Baptist recast to use in a little bit different context prior to the coming of Christ. When we come back, more about this, stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our topic today is about baptism. Why is it that we read about baptism in the Book of Mormon before the time of Christ when baptism is a Christian ritual? How is it that John the Baptist, before Christianity, before Jesus' ministry even quite began, or in connection with its beginning, was baptizing people? Baptism is a Christian ritual, is it not? Well, the short answer is, it all depends on how you look at it, because, as we discussed in our last segment, there was ritual cleansing that served the same purpose that happened in the Old Testament in Exodus, in Psalms, in the Dead Sea Scrolls. This was something that John the Baptist apparently knew about, and the idea of ritual cleansing is mentioned in dozens of places in the Old Testament. Interestingly enough, there is a scholarly consensus that the earliest Christian baptism was by immersion. It was only after centuries that sprinkling became all right. Baptism, the word baptism from Greek means to immerse. And it conveyed the sense of cleansing with it by immersion, which, if you just sprinkle a little water, may not accomplish the same degree of cleansing. By the 4th and 5th centuries, baptism had become a several week-long ritual leading up to the actual baptismal washing on Easter. And after a time, it changed even more, so that baptism by sprinkling, baptism prior to one's being able to actually comprehend a baptismal covenant, meaning sprinkling of children, arose as well. Infant baptism is something that happened in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, possibly. By the 3rd century, we have some certain references to it. There were some early church fathers who thought it was a good idea. Many others thought it was not, because infants are not capable of understanding the nature of baptism. Now, one of the other points that I wanted to mention here is that baptism has been a point of controversy within Christianity for a long, long, long time. The Baptist faith, of course, comes from that word, to baptize. And the Baptist faith required strict baptism, not just sprinkling. And that was one of the early strict requirements within the Baptist faith. There are a lot of different ideas about baptism and its use and its needs. But depending on your specific faith, there may have been a different way of baptism, of the actual ritual happening, and yet the underlying purpose is the same. Maybe I can put it this way. And this is why the critics are wrong. References to baptism in the Book of Mormon and the idea of pre-Christian baptism is not so strange at all. Why? Because whether we are talking about the tabernacle of Moses, whether we are talking about the Psalms, whether we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, whether we're talking about the book of Exodus and its many references to washing and anointing, whether we're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls references to baptism by immersion. And incidentally, in the Dead Sea Scrolls community at Qumran, there have been a number of baptismal fonts or mikvahs, immersion pools, that have been excavated. This was clearly a ritual, not just on paper in the scrolls, but something that actually happened. So continue, whether or not we're talking about John the Baptist's baptism by immersion, or baptism in later Christianity, or whether we're talking about baptism in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or whether we're talking about the temple rituals, such as the endowment, the main method and purpose remains the same. And what is that? It's to clean and to purify the person from their sins and from the sins of the world, to then place upon that person new clean clothing, to make that person physically, spiritually ready to enter into the presence of God. For ultimately, that is something that we all must do, whether it's through death or the eventual second coming of God. That is the purpose. Now, one of the most interesting things about John the Baptist's claims and the history of baptism was, it's clear from the statements that we have in the New Testament, in Matthew and elsewhere, that John the Baptist believed that he was a forerunner. He believed that he was preparing the way for the Messiah. Who was the Messiah? That comes from the Jewish word meaning Savior, Anointed One, Mashiach, Joshua, Jesus. These are all different ways to say the same Jewish word. Joshua in the Old Testament was a Savior. He saved the people out of Egypt. Yeshua, or Jesus, saved all of mankind in the ultimate sense. This whole idea of salvation is what baptism is all about. How can one be saved in the kingdom of God without being cleansed or saved from the personal sins or sins of the world? This is the position that baptism is useful for in one's life. This is also the purpose for which the Messiah came, and for which the Messiah is believed to exist in Jewish thought. It's to save people who cannot save themselves. It's to help people who cannot help themselves. And in a greater sense, we are all, after baptism, to become the saviors of others. How? By teaching them the truth, by helping them understand the concepts of Jesus Christ and of Christianity. These are the purposes of baptism, and these are the reasons why baptism, pre-Christianity, pre-Christian era, is not such an inappropriate or crazy idea, but it actually fits right in. I'm going to mention one more time before our program ends that I invite anyone with interest, to a free, open to the public presentation of a near-death experience. Friday, October 22nd, 7 p.m., Salt Lake County Complex in Salt Lake City at 2100 South State Street. If you have any further questions, be in touch with me. Send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond. And if Travis is listening, or someone who knows Travis in Salt Lake City, Sandy area, who had near-death experience in connection with coming down with COVID in May of this year, who was transported by ambulance and had fascinating near-death experience, which has been posted in Endorf, I would also be very interested in talking to you. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.